Hello, Ali from Empire here, and welcome to another special spoiler-filled Empire podcast. As promised, here are some wise words from Marvel head honcho Kevin Feige that only people who've watched Avengers Assemble will want to hear. In other words, if you haven't watched any Avengers Assembling recently, please press pause now. Still with us? Great stuff. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the next 12 minutes or so of marvellous spoilery goodness, as hosted by our very own Helen O'Hara and James Dyer.
Now, at the very end of the film, post-credits,
yes,
we see Thanos, the Mad Titan. The Mad Titan.
I'm the only one who recognised him. Guy in front of me thought it was Hellboy. I was like, that's the wrong franchise.
I have to say, actually, in the screening last night, at the very end, that happened, obviously.
Yes.
And there was just one guy at the back of the cinema who shouted really excitedly, Thanos!
Was it you?
No, it wasn't me. But I will tell you something. That's why we can do things like that.
Yeah.
The majority of the movie-going audience probably does not know who Thanos is. Just like the majority of the movie-going audience probably didn't know Thor's hammer.
Mm.
Might not even have known. They knew Sam Jackson, but they didn't know why he was wearing a long leather coat and an eye patch. But I learned early on, and frankly, it was X-Men 2, when Bryan Singer put the great, I love X-Men 2 is one of my favorite Marvel movies. Mm. And that ending, where we're going over the water, where Jean Grey has sacrificed herself to get the X-Jet into the air, and in a homage to Star Trek II, we have the deceased character Jean Grey doing the voiceover of sort of the motto of the X-Men or whatever that Patrick Stewart had said in the opening of the first one. And at the very end of her lines, there's a little glimmer over the water, and you hear a little bird. Most people would never necessarily know what that was, but there were always enough people in each screening that I attended who went, "Oh my God! Oh no, it's Phoenix! They're setting up Dark Phoenix." That I learned, it does. All you need is one.
Yeah.
All you need is one person in the back of the theater to go, "Oh, it's Thanos!" For people to start going, "Who's that? Must mean something. Who's that?" And they start to learn. They start to dig deeper, which is why we love to do things like that.
Mm.
It starts to expand the sort of knowledge. It excites people who know who these characters are, and it intrigues people who don't.
So obviously queuing up the $300 billion Avengers 2 The Infinity Gauntlet movie.
The fun thing is, certainly with that tag, you don't know where they'll pop up again, right? It's not quite as connected to the way Thor connected right into tag on Iron Man 2 connected right into the Thor movie.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But certainly we have introduced him in a big way into the cinematic universe.
Now, I thought I spotted another couple of people who might become important.
Mm-hmm.
There was somebody called Senator Boynton who appeared on the TV screen at the end.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe, okay.
Or maybe not.
And there were a couple of lingering glances at an actress called Ashley Johnson, who appears to be a waitress in one scene. Is that something that you're setting up, or is that just because she's a Whedonite?
Oh, she's a Whedonite.
Okay.
Yes. And it's... we wanted, just a normal person to have to be able to reflect on the events of the movie and to sort of showcase their gratitude for the Avengers, and she is the character that does it. But you never know. She was making eyes at Steve Rogers.
She definitely was. I thought there was a little connection there,
yes.
We had something of a debate in the office about the Hulk, because obviously when you see him on the helicarrier, he's the rage monster that we're very familiar with.
Yes.
But then you get to see, and it's that line, I'm always angry. You get to see that line that maybe this is a glimpse at a slightly more focused, more controlled Hulk. I mean, is that something that might be setting up how you'd approach another Hulk movie?
I think so. I mean, the truth is we've spent so much time to get the Hulk working in Avengers that we've only just starting any conversations about his next appearance. But frankly, that was something we started the very last frame of The Incredible Hulk, was Bruce Banner sort of looking up and having a bit of a glint in his eye. And what does that mean? And we always intended it to mean any number of things, but one of them perhaps being a greater sense of control over it.
Mm.
And for people who've seen the movie, and hopefully only people who've seen the movie or listening to this, we think that, Joss sort of wrote the character like he's got a sense of control over it. There's a little Loki manipulation occurring on the helicarrier there, and the scepter that he has sort of affecting all of them slightly, pushing them in the directions Loki wants them to go. And when that connection is broken and lost by the end of the movie, and he's much more in control, I think, is where you see a Hulk that can still be unpredictable and still be extremely monstrous, but who can stand back-to-back with some of the other characters, barely.
Speaking of unpredictable, I think everybody was talking about the Sucker Punch.
Oh, yes.
yes. Hulk, this was actually a very funny film. I've seen comedies that were less funny than this film, but that got probably the biggest laugh of the entire day.
It's fun to see in various screenings, there's slightly different things that get the biggest response, and that's always usually one of them. And that was all Joss, and I think that was in Joss's first draft of the script, which I think was a commentary on, oh, you think the Hulk is completely in control? Guess again. Right? He's still unpredictable. He still can't quite keep it all inside. Mm.
That's genius. That and Ragdoll Loki.
Yes.
Genius.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, that was amazing. And also, this is another Loki moment, and I think it's actually quite a Joss Whedon moment. Loki uses an incredibly rude word and gets away with it as regards the, you know, the rating and the film and everything.
I was
Is that just
surprised.
Because Joss Whedon has a better vocabulary than the censors?
Joss Whedon has a spectacular vocabulary. I will tell you this. In America, and particularly on the production team of the Avengers, we didn't know what that word meant. I think Jeremy looked it up at one point after a couple of the takes. I wonder what that. Oh, but it's sort of it's in every version of the movie.
The MPAA clearly didn't know what it meant either. So
yeah, I mean, I always sort of stuff sounded like wench or something, which is what I'll still choose to believe it means.
We'll just ignore reality there.
And you killed Phil.
Well, Phil Coulson's, we love the notion that a character, such an unexpected character, becomes the heart and soul of kind of all six of these movies, and in particular, the Avengers. And I love how it sort of represents the entire, frankly, the last 5 years of what we've been working on at Marvel Studios, 6 years, 7 years, of taking little ideas that can grow and get bigger and bigger and taking unexpected turns over the course of the films. And Clark Gregg's performance as Agent Coulson has just been great, and was just sort of a plot device that was used in early drafts of Iron Man 1. Mm. But he was so good, we sort of kept adding scenes and gave him that just call a shield moment at the end of Iron Man 1 with Gwyneth, and sort of was our link in the Thor film to Earth and to the broader Marvel world. We knew we wanted to do away with somebody, frankly. And Joss, we pitched Joss on the notion of killing Coulson. And the first thing he said was, they're going to blame me. I have that reputation of killing beloved characters.
He killed Wash. We can't forgive
that. Right, exactly. And we said, if you could do this one more time for us, we'd appreciate it, because we wanted the stakes to be real. Mm. We wanted, as you said, there's a lot of comedy in the movie, but we wanted there to be stakes. And that is the emotional turning point of the whole movie, and what finally gets them to stop bickering and sort of join together. And in my favorite moment of the movie, right after Bruce reveals that his secret to keeping it under control is that he's always angry, punches the Leviathan, causes all of them to team up together, screaming right in the face of the alien that's screaming down at them. You're like, it's on, and I'm not sure they're going to win, because we've already killed off one of the most beloved characters. So, what's going to happen next? Mm. So it was, we didn't want to do it just for any sort of shock value. We wanted it to resonate and be a tribute to the role that he's played in all these movies.
Now, where are you kind of going to go from here? I mean, obviously, Thor 2 is already underway. Iron Man 3.
Yeah, we start filming Iron Man 3, 5 weeks from now, and it'll be even less time when people are listening to this. So it's coming up fast.
And then Thor 2 is on the way, though. We've got Alan Taylor.
Here in London, where we're going to be filming the next Thor film, shooting that at the end of the summer. And we've announced a release date on the next Captain America film, which will be in early summer, April 2014. And I can't talk too much about that, but we've already sort of revealed that his story, more than any others, will sort of jump off right from the end of Avengers.
Okay.
He's the only one that can't go home again. Tony goes back to California. Thor goes back to the various nine realms, and he can't, Captain cannot go back in time.
See, I was a little bit disappointed. I thought maybe Thor, space travel is pretty much time travel the way he does it, so he could totally fix that, couldn't he?
That Thor could get Cap back
there?
Yeah. Maybe someday, but so much of his journey and so much of the Steve Rogers character in the comics is about him being a man out of time, and about him being, those were the big debates we had about the first movie. And we'd always sort of, I've said this before, we always sort of assumed that a Captain America movie would be half in the past, half in the present. Mm. And we did that in early drafts, and it wasn't working. You didn't get enough. It was too Star Spangled Man, not enough Steve, skinny Steve. So we did it all, period. Now we're excited to explore that man out of time much more. Avengers, frankly, takes place over such a condensed time period. It's only a few days, and the world is going to end. So he doesn't get a lot of time to deal with him being a fish out of water. we'll deal more than the next movie.
That was very cute, though, his moment about, oh, I get that reference.
Yes.
He's all excited.
Yes.
Finally, something he
that
recognizes.
That was good. You know, we really wanted, and we told Joss, and I think what Joss was most excited about is we said, we want Avengers to be a part one. Mm. Avengers is an origin story. When anyone asks Joss, who's the leader? Who's the main character? He says the team. He says it's an origin story of that team. We didn't want it to be a pseudo sequel to any of the other movies necessarily. Wanted to be a part one. So we didn't spend a lot of time catching people up on who they were. I think Joss did a spectacular job of, in every introductory scene, you get enough. It's all you need to know. And when you meet Steve, he's clearly not, you know, he's not a perfectly content individual. He's struggling with something. But we didn't know if those jokes would play. Mm. He doesn't recognize Stephen Hawking when Coulson references him. The flying monkeys gag. Yeah. He's so excited that he does understand that. Wizard of Oz 1939, he saw that. And they played. And it worked. You know, the audience got it enough in that first intro scene of Steve that they understand, you know, he's been away for 70 years.
Mm. I mean, just all the jokes, honestly. Rock of Ages, Shakespeare in the Park, Point Break. I was totally there, loving it. One other thing that I spotted in the credits at the end, Alexis Denioff was in there as the other. So was he the leader of the, because I didn't recognize him under the makeup, was he the leader of the Chitauri?
Yes, that's exactly right. Okay. He was the person that Loki was dealing with and was sort of the front man for Thanos.
And they were, I think I'm right in saying, just an invented race for the film.
Well, Chitauri is from the Ultimates.
Word.
And while there's shapeshifters in the comic, we did not want it. There was enough going on in this movie to have shapeshifters in the mix. So really, that was, they were always conceived as Loki's army. They were always conceived as Loki, having spun off from Asgard, clearly had some misadventures out there on his own until he met and teamed up with these people. And that was the main purpose for them. But we call them the Chitauri to tip our hat to Ultimates, which was a big inspiration for the movie.
And I mean, you know, Thor 2, do you think you're going to go back to Loki as the antagonist there? Because personally, I'd like to see Tom Hiddleston, you know, stay in employment.
It'd be a shame to see the back of him.
You and me both. I think Tom, you know, Loki is such an amazing character. Hiddleston is such a spectacular actor. We've just come from the Moscow premiere where almost the entire cast was there, all, you know, getting amazing receptions. But I started looking and seeing the majority of the people that had signs, they were Loki signs. Loki's army. It is amazing. And I love it. I love that people who had no idea who Loki was before now sort of love this embodiment as portrayed by Hiddleston. Mm. So certainly we have plans for him in the next Thor movie, but hopefully in unexpected ways.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I have to say, he came in for a web chat and broke the web chat. There were too many people.
He
oh, really?
Break the web chat.
That's great.
Yeah. Our most popular visitor ever, I think. So.
He's amazing.
Hiddlestonites.
He's amazing. Loki's army.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Absolutely. All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very
Excellent.
Much.
Thanks so much.